fourth and final hour here on First Up for your Thursday morning. I'm Aaron Korolnik. That is Carlo Koliak. Well, we hit the phones for Wake Up Woodbridge in just a moment. A caller from British Columbia on the line. World Cup fever alive and well here on TSN 1050. We'll also get into the Leafs, who win 2-1 against the New Jersey Devils, missing their top three defensemen against the hottest team in the National Hockey League. And the Devils, who had won 13 games in a row. We should also give a shout-out to Mitch Marner, who records a point for his 14th consecutive game, just four off the Maple Leafs record set by Daryl Sittler of 18. So we'll see if Magic Mitch can keep it going this weekend against Minnesota and against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Again, the number is 416-870-1050. Wake Up Woodbridge begins now.
Time to make the call.
Now, what's this number? Who making this call? I don't know what's this number. What is this number?
Wake Up Woodbridge.
Buongiorno.
Wake Up Woodbridge.
That's right. So wake me up when he's on. Okay, this is Wake Up Woodbridge, and I'm seeing our caller on line one, Kyle from Brampton, who I believe called in last week and gave a hot take on, was it France missing, like, not making it out of the group stage? I can't recall. Or maybe that was Grant Wall who said that, our soccer correspondent live from Qatar. But let's bring in Kyle from Brampton on line one. Maybe he can refresh our memories. What's going on, Kyle?
How we doing today, guys?
Good.
Great. You?
Go. Just absolutely wonderful. Just sitting here just waiting to get loaded up. Decided to call in to you boys. I said France would be making it out of the world, out of the group stage. I think they are still, even with all their injuries and despite all their turmoil going on right now, you've seen the 4-1 win against Australia, and they were just dominant in that game. As for Canada, I couldn't be more proud of my Brampton hometown boys and the Canadian boys. I thought we did a wonderful job at shutting down Belgium. We just had a really really tough time in that final third of the field, trying to score a couple goals. 21 shots is absolutely ridiculous on net. If we can shut down a guy like Kevin De Bruyne, who in my opinion is the best player in the game right now, I don't think we'll have a problem shutting down Croatia and Luka Modric. They have a little bit of older legs in the midfield, and just like that back line of Belgium, Canada can expose a lot of spots on that team.
Love it. They need it. They absolutely need it, man.
Oh, thank you to the for the call, Kyle. Man, there's some great stuff going on right now on Twitter with Matthew Schenetti reporting what John Herdman said to the Croatian media after Herdman said yesterday following the loss to Belgium that they were going to F Croatia. And let's just say the Croatian media is all over Herdman. And he's kind of backtracking a little bit, saying it was a passionate moment. You're trying to inspire your team. But I think it's pretty safe to say that the Croatian team knows all about Herdman's comments. And what do we call that, Coco? Bulletin board material?
Yes.
For the Croatians, I wonder how that's going to go over on Sunday. If Croatia takes it to Canada, I imagine there'll be a lot of motions over to John Herdman from the Croatian players. All right, let's go to our man Aaron in British Columbia on line two. What's up, Aaron?
Hello. Long-time listener, first-time caller. And I think the Leafs really made a mistake by letting Labushkin go in the offseason. They could really help with a solid stay-at-home defenseman.
I couldn't agree more. We're big Labushkin fans on this show.
That's your boy.
Man.
You love Labushkin.
Yeah.
Labushkin's not playing a lot with Buffalo, though. He's kind of like
on
in
the third
there of the
pair.
Lineup. Yeah, he's been a healthy at some point, too.
No, he hasn't been healthy. He's been hurt.
Or maybe he was hurt, but yeah, he's been in and out of the lineup a little bit. But yeah, we're Labushkin fans. We're big fans of Aaron from Creston, B.C.
Hey,
as well. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, and B.C. Love it when our callers from B.C. call us. We're proud that all across Canada people listen to us. And
worldwide, maybe.
Worldwide, yes.
We call Qatar. We call everyone around the world.
So here's something that I thought about the other day. Like, you know, Maple Leafs going out and maybe looking for a defenseman. Like, Buffalo is in one of those spots right now, too, where they started off great. They went a little bit of a slump. you know, they've kind of settled in right now, and they're struggling. And granted, they've won the last two games in convincing fashion, and mostly in part because they've gotten some healthy bodies back. But if Buffalo falls out of it again, and Dubas loves, you know, dipping into the Sault Ste. Marie pool, but he also loves dipping into familiarity, does he call up Buffalo and make a trade for Labushkin to come back?
Wasn't that a 2-year deal he signed, though?
Yeah, he's signed for next year. Big deal.
2.75, that's kind of a big ticket for a team up against it.
Now, how is it up against it? If they get $5 million of clearance with Muzzin's contract, they
for this year, but I'm talking about next year. I wonder if
if Muzzin doesn't play this year, there's a good chance he's probably not playing next year either. So, and the cap's going to go up a little bit. I mean, are you really worried about what next year's contract is for Labushkin? I mean, you know what this guy is. You saw him play for you last year. He was a guy that played alongside Morgan Riley most of the time that he was here. He brings a physical presence. I mean, I don't know. If he becomes available, wouldn't you want to take another crack at him because you know what he brings?
You just want to get your Labushkin jersey out of the closet. That's all. You can't crack it out until he's back on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Sure.
Line 4, Tom in Ajax. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Just watching the World Cup yesterday, this thought came to me. I'm going to pass it along to you guys. I think Carlo will like it. But I thought about, you know, it's too bad that Italy's not in this tournament. It's great in this area because there's so many Italian fans that get so pumped up about it. And obviously, you know, it's a great soccer nation. But here's the idea I had. I thought of, like, the Masters where, you know, no matter what age you are, if you've won a Masters, you can compete if you want to. Like, you know, Mike Weir could be out there when he's 78 years old. But maybe not so much a grandfather clause where you can always be in the World Cup forever. But say like a 20-year window. We're talking about 5 World Cups. If you win a World Cup or you're in the World Cup final, you should be an automatic berth in the next 5 World Cups. Because I don't have anything against any other countries, but let's be honest. I mean, we could do without Costa Rica or Senegal or something like that. Wouldn't you rather see Italy in this tournament rather than...
Well, it's funny, Tom. I appreciate the call. I'm glad you brought this up because I said the same thing. Like, we were just over a year removed from the Euro Cup, and the Euro Cup, you know, slid a year because of COVID. And Italy just won the Euro Cup. Like, we're talking about a team that just won the European Championship that is not playing in the World Cup 1 year later. Like, to me, that doesn't make any sense. And I'm totally with you. Like, I watched that Costa Rica game yesterday, and I'm like, how the hell is a team like Italy not in the World Cup, and you're watching a team like Costa Rica get spanked in it?
7-0 by
Spain.
And
it's like, yeah. I understand that there's a qualification process that needs to go on, but there should be some exemption, at least for a team. Like, if you win the Euro Cup, that's 2 years prior to the World Cup in normal circumstances, you should get an automatic bid to the World Cup because that team played good enough to win the Euro Cup should be good enough to play in the World Cup in the coming year. So something should be done about that. And I'm not just saying this because I'm Italian and, yeah, I would love to see Italy in it, but I am having an amazing time cheering for Canada because it is special to watch them play in their first World Cup. But I'm with you, man. Like, it sucks not seeing a World Cup without Italy in it.
Yeah, Rod points out, you know, they can't beat North Macedonia, so that's just what hinges on the whole thing, right? So if they beat North Macedonia, we might not be having this conversation.
But here's the thing, AK, as we saw in that North Macedonia game, Italy dominated North Macedonia.
Respecting
exactly
the handshake line for
no,
Italy,
hold on a
is
second.
That what you're saying?
They dominated the game almost the same way Canada did. And North Macedonia capitalized on one chance that they got. They got lucky with the chance. But are we really going to decide the fate of a power country in soccer through one game? Like, I get it. I'm not complaining about the system because that's the system that in place. That's what happens. Yeah, they should beat North Macedonia to give themselves a chance. But even if they go on and beat North Macedonia, they still got to beat Portugal to qualify. Now you're talking about one of Italy or Portugal not in the next World Cup. Like, to me, it's just, I don't know, there should be a better way. Like, I believe, Rod, correct me if I'm wrong, Italy is in the top 20 FIFA rankings in the world. Is his mic on?
Or it's not. All right. I don't know. I don't know what's going on here, fellas. Mike. But, yeah. So, I don't know. We'll get that answer for you in a second. But we have Marcus in Toronto on the line. So, let's bring Marcus in, and then we'll find out about Italy. Go ahead, Marcus.
Gents, what's going on?
What's up, Marcus?
Not too much. I just wanted to get you guys' feedback on what you guys thought about the Canada game. I'll throw it out to you that when I was watching the game, I really thought that they were thinking about it too much, like who's going to score the first goal. Like after Davies missed the kick, I felt like they had like chance after chance in there, like Buchanan, Eustachio, David. Like they were just thinking about
Laren.
It too much. Yeah, Laren. Like they were just thinking about it way too much, like who's going to score. And they're putting way too much effort in the ball. Buchanan had like four chances where he felt like he was open and just blasted the ball all over the place. So
yeah.
Well, I just think they were thinking about it too much.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Marcus. And I think you're onto something there where, keep in mind, Canada has never scored in a World Cup. So whoever does score their first goal, and hopefully it comes on Sunday against Croatia, you're going down in the record books as part of history, Canadian soccer history. So there has to be a little bit of that lingering, and I imagine that's why Alphonso Davies was like, all right, I got the ball. I'm going to go kick this penalty.
I'm going to be that guy.
This is me. I want to be the guy who is that the answer to that trivia question. And there's no doubt when history is on your foot or on your head and you have this opportunity to cement yourself in Canadian sporting lore, that's got to factor in. And maybe they were pressing a little bit, or maybe it's the exact opposite, where this was their first World Cup game in 36 years. There's so much hype and intensity and energy. Maybe they burnt through a lot of it yesterday, and we'll see how they come out against Croatia.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much I read into that, because this Canada team is different. Like they were never involved in Canada's history of the past. This team was involved in winning the CONCACAF group and qualifying for the World Cup, where they scored a ton of goals. So I don't think they sit there and say, oh, you know, we in our history, we've never scored a goal. This is a different team. This is a different team that believes. And I don't think, you know, the thought process in the game is who's going to score the first goal for us. The thought process in the game is, hey, what are we going to do to score, and what are we going to do to win? Like, and I think that's what they worry about. And I think it's more of people outside of the game of soccer that are spending more time focusing on that. So, I hope they do find a way to score next game. I hope they do find a way to score in this tournament. But, you know, that's why they play the games.
Yeah, and their opponent on Sunday, Croatia, again, 11 a.m. on TSN, TSN 1050. There's going to be some bulletin board material, no doubt. And go to Matthew Schinetti's Twitter account, who's in Qatar and speaking with Herdman just moments ago, who, and I'll be concise, but here's what Herdman had to say as part of his comments. I mean, no disrespect to the Croatian team and the Croatian people. This is in reference to his F Croatia up comments after the game yesterday against Belgium. But at the end of the day, it's a mindset that Canada is going to have if we're going to have 3 points against one of the top teams in the world. And it's the mindset we took to Belgium. We have to. It's part of new Canada. All right.
Love it.
I guess. Well, I love it if Croatia doesn't just take it to Canada because they're so pissed off about Herman's comments. You know, you don't want to wake up a sleeping giant. Not that Croatia necessarily is, but this is a team with a ton of experience, and my guess is they know a lot about what Herdman had to say. And
well, I like what our first caller said, Kyle from Brampton, basically saying that, look, I mean, Canada took it to one of the best players in the world in De Bruyne. Like, we shouldn't be worried about, like, Modric, who is, you know, a lot older and a lot past his prime and stuff like that. Canada just has to believe in themselves. You know, they can't worry about who they're playing. They got to trust, you know, who they are and how they got here, and just is focus on those things. Because if they focus on anything else, it's just going to become a distraction that they don't need.
Leo Routens will join us in 15 minutes' time. We'll look back at the Raptors and the Brooklyn Nets and try to get an update on all the injuries the Raptors are currently in the midst of. This is something crazy. They're missing so many guys these days. They've got the Dallas Mavericks in town on Saturday. But first, legendary patients deserve a legendary hospital. Help us build the new SickKids by becoming a monthly donor today. Your donations
will help build an expanded neonatal intensive care unit, new state-of-the-art operating suites, and deliver more care to more children in need. Go to tsn1050.ca to become a monthly donor, and your donation will be triple matched every month for an entire year. And tune into News Talk 1010's Gift of Giving for Sick Kids, December 15th from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. to hear how your donation will help save the lives of our most vulnerable children. Leo Routens in 15 minutes. More of the fourth hour first up coming up after this.
21, can you do something for me? 21. Can you hit a little wrist flex for me?
We'll give you the story with Drake last night on the Raptors broadcast.
Oh my god, that was hilarious.
Raptors and the Brooklyn Nets. Tough night for Toronto, who were playing without, let me see if I have my
everybody
list here. Van Vliet, Barnes, Siakam, Precious Achiuwa. I don't even know who was the
Otto Porter Jr.
There's a lot of Doughton. How do you say that guy's name? He was playing a lot. Anytime you
Doughton
see him playing
Jr.
a lot, yeah, that's not a good sign for the Raptors. They get their asses handed to them by the Brooklyn Nets, as you'd expect. And Brooklyn was coming off a tough loss the night before against a team in Philadelphia that had nobody playing, right? Embiid, Maxey, and Harden were out for the Sixers, and they beat the Brooklyn Nets. The Toronto Raptors are unable to do the same thing to the Brooklyn Nets the subsequent evening. The Raptors back at home on Saturday night. They host the Dallas Mavericks, a game I'm hoping to go to, but I'm going to wait until right before the tip to make sure the Raptors are actually fielding a quality lineup and that Luka Doncic is playing, because the last thing I want to do is go see Spencer Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith take on Doughton and Juancho Hernan Gomez on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
So that's my plan on Saturday. And I will tell you what happened with Drake and Jack Armstrong and Matt Devlin in just a second. But the World Cup ongoing right now, Uruguay and Korea Republic in the 65th minute, no score. Switzerland beats Cameroon 1-0 earlier today. We've got a couple of games here on TSN 1050 starting at 11 a.m. It will be Portugal and Ghana. 20 Fingers, our technical producer, has predicted that Ronaldo will score in that game. Find that minus 105 on FanDuel. And then at 2 o'clock, Brazil and Serbia. So you get Portugal, and then you get Brazil on back-to-back games here on TSN 1050. And then tonight, it's Minnesota and New England to conclude the Thanksgiving slate, which starts in about 3 hours' time, the Bills at the Detroit Lions.
Oh, but can't wait.
Drake was there last night, and I guess because he's good buddies with Kevin Durant, that makes a lot of sense. And, man, was Drake putting on a show. Was on the broadcast, was talking to Matty D, gave Jack Armstrong his jacket. You see Jack wearing the jacket. And Arad will tweet that out on the First Up 1050 account, the picture of Jack Armstrong with Drake's hood. That jacket probably cost, what, 10 grand?
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
It's made of, like, rare unicorn fur or something like
that.
Dude,
it was a fur coat that literally had a teddy bear on the front of it, like, attached to it. And
so
watching Jack wear that jacket in the middle of the broadcast and listening to him laugh with that high-pitched voice that he brings sometimes, it was outstanding. Absolutely. I was doing the halves game yesterday, which, by God, was a boring. It was 0-0 going into the third, Montreal and Columbus. Could you imagine how much fun I had on the broadcast yesterday? And I'm watching this clip, and thank God it was posted because I just needed a pick-me-up. I was dealing with another migraine yesterday, and I was howling when I saw Jack in Drake's jacket.
Well, go to our Twitter account again, First Up 1050, to see it. Here's how it sounded on TSN.
And how? What do you think of the coat?
I'm not gonna lie. It's like it's changed. It's changed. You're changing. You're evolving.
It's, you
you're
know what?
Evolving.
That is a great point. He is.
You're evolving.
He evolved literally over the last 3 minutes since he put it on.
That's like it's a meme. Like listens to her loss once and then cuts to Jackie Boy and the teddy bear.
Well, the teddy. I'm rolling. I'm rocking it.
Okay, I do not understand that reference. Listens to her loss once. I can guarantee you Jack Armstrong and Matt Devlin don't understand.
Zero idea.
Chrissy, you definitely understand it. Can you please tell us? You are the Drake super fan on the show. I'm going to guess it's a reference to
one of his songs.
His album is called Her Loss. So.
Oh, his album is Her Loss.
Ah, there
oh,
it is.
I
see. Okay.
There
Jack's
it is.
Like, and then he looks over. Can someone tell me?
Tell me what that means.
What he's talking about? Because I
no,
I'm
he leans down to the teddy bear. And he's like, yeah, Teddy. Tell me what that means, Teddy.
Somebody text me what Drake's album is called. But yeah, that was awesome. Anytime Drake's there, man, he's such a like an affable fella. I mean, just I like to see Drake talking to Matty D and Jack. So I thought that was a really cool thing last night. And maybe Drake's there for Doncic on Saturday. Maybe I'll sit next to him. I did see, I don't know if you noticed this, Thomas Kaepernick sitting courtside with his kid yesterday.
Was he?
So, yeah, nice. Cabby getting some nice tickets from somebody. I mean,
I know who you got them from. The same person
you
that I get
them
that's
from. That's a hookup?
Oh, yeah. Same person that I get them from, too.
You went one time.
I used to go a lot when I played for the Leafs, but yes, I went that one time to when Landsberg was sitting in his seats. And I said, hey, I'm going to get courtside too. He's like, no, you're not. And then I showed up to the game. He's like, holy cow, what just happened?
Well, we did see, when we went to the game a couple weeks ago, the Philly game, we did see Landsberg sitting courtside.
We did, so in the Poontip seats.
He's still, you know, he's not on the radio anymore. I mean, still got the hookups for the Raptors tickets. So shout out to Michael Landsberg. Oh, sitting courtside, especially for Durant. You could boo Kyrie Irving, boo Ben Simmons as well. That'd be a good game.
Throw beer at them if you want, like they did at the Leaf game.
That's the New Jersey Devils move. And I can guarantee you at Scotiabank Arena, they don't sell full cans of beer.
Oh, like, everything's served in a
glasses.
Cup.
Yeah. To avoid stupidity like the type that ensued in New Jersey last night. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that was really cool. And Thomas Kaepernick, look at that guy. Courtside Cabby.
Coaching his son now, man.
That's his new nickname on this show. We should
Courtside
try to catch
Cabby.
Up with Cabby. We should try to catch Shoot! Cabby. Shoot! Do you think people would still yell that at him?
I know, eh?
I remember so many Leafs playoff games where just yelling, like me and my friends, shoot!
He hated that much, dude.
I'm sure
you don't understand, like, the banter in the locker room was just nonstop with Cabby's. Like, you know, the joke was, Cabby, shoot the puck, man. Shoot the puck. And he would always, you know, practice his shots after practice, and Ty would just be grilling him. Tux would be grilling him and stuff like that. But yeah, that was the thing for Kaepernick when he was on the power play quarterbacking it. But I mean, he made a living teeing up guys like Tux and Caber.
And dude, remember that year that Kaepernick and McCabe? I think they both had 60 points, something like that. Yeah. They both had huge years. And
Caber had like almost 25 goals that year because it was just automatic every time he'd get a pass from Cabby, he'd end up in the back of the net.
Shout out to Thomas Kaepernick and Brian McCabe, a couple of Leafs legends, no doubt. We'll let you hear the John Herdman audio from about 20 minutes ago. We have tracked it down where he addresses his F Croatia comments made following the game against Belgium yesterday, plus my FanDuel best bets in about 20 minutes. More in the fourth hour of First Up. You're listening to TSN 1050. Korolnik Koliakovo, Herdman Audio, next. We are giving away a pair of Raptors tickets. Listen to each hour of the First Up podcast for a clue to the identity of a former or current Raptors player. And once you have all the clues and you know the identity of the player, you'll have until the end of the day to enter at tsn1050.ca for your chance to win the tickets. Here is your clue. Clue number 4. This player played for 8 different NBA teams. So anytime the Toronto Raptors take on the Brooklyn Nets, we all think back to that playoff series played many moons ago where Paul Pierce was suiting up for the Nets. Masai Ujiri steps on stage outside of Scotiabank Arena, says F Brooklyn, and the entire crowd goes crazy, goes bananas. That's an iconic moment for Masai Ujiri, one in which he was fined for, but come on, Masai, you got some cash. We loved it then, and we still love it now. Well, John Herdman, the coach of the Canadian men's soccer team, yesterday in Qatar, had his own Masai Ujiri moment following the game against Belgium. Here's how that sounded.
I just showed them they belong here. Told them they belong here. And we're going to go on F Croatia. That's as simple as it gets. You know, that's our next mission now.
We're going to go F Croatia. It's as simple as it gets. Well, to no one's surprise, the Croatian media has picked up on this story. The Canadian coach saying that his team's going to F Croatia. Today at training, I believe this is where this occurred, the Croatian media found John Herdman, and this exchange happened.
Did you really say after last night's match that you're going to F-word Croatia? And if you did, is that underestimating a statement regarding Croatia's runner-up of last World Cup?
Yeah, great question. And yeah, I did. I mean, you say those things in an impassioned moment, trying to inspire your team in a huddle. And when you're asked the question, what you said in that huddle, yeah, it was what I said. And yeah, it's not massively respectful to Croatian people and the Croatian national team. I understand very well where they're at on the world stage. But in that moment, you know, you're taking your men to that next place. You're taking your team to that next place that we're here to be fearless and to bring everything we've got to that game. So, yeah, I mean, no disrespect to the Croatian team and Croatian people, but at the end of the day, it's a mindset that Canada's going to have if we're going to have 3 points against one of the top teams in the world. And it's the mindset we took to Belgium. We have to. It's part of New Canada.
So, no surprise, Herdman, very eloquent in his response. He knew that question was coming today. As soon as he said the F Croatia thing yesterday, he probably knew. He's like, oof, I'm going to have to answer some questions about that one. And I don't know if he regrets saying it, but there's no doubt that his team's going to have to, you know, chew on that. Like, they're going to have to step up for him. Because if they go out and get crushed by Croatia tomorrow on Sunday, I mean, what do you think the first thing that everyone's going to look back on is? Well, how the coach of Canada comes out and says they're going to go F Croatia when, in fact, it goes the other way. So I think it's a really fascinating situation. This is something that we've never encountered, obviously, in Canadian soccer, save the women's side, of course, but Canadian men's soccer. And Herdman, I don't know if he learned a valuable lesson here, but I am that much more fired up for Sunday to see what type of response Croatia has and, in turn, Canada has for their coach as well.
Well, as if you needed any more motivation to play that game, right? I mean, clearly he's lit a fire under the Croatian squad, and I don't necessarily know if that's bulletin board material. It could be used as bulletin board material for Croatia. But if you're Croatia, do you need any more motivation? I mean, you don't need the coach of the other team saying in a speech to try to encourage his team that we need to go and, you know, F-word Croatia. Croatia is the guy said, they're the defending finalists in the World Cup. They're a higher ranked team. They should understand that their result against Morocco wasn't good enough for them based on the status that they've created for themselves. I don't have a problem with what John Herdman said. To me, he didn't direct that at Croatia. That was a comment directed at his team. So if people want to sit there and say that's a disrespectful comment, by all means, you can view it however way you want. I look at it as him directing it to his team as a sign of motivation because he's trying to have his team, who's playing in their first World Cup since 1986, who has never scored a goal in the World Cup, he's trying to keep them motivated and keep them believing in themselves that they can do great things in this tournament, especially off of the effort that they just displayed against one of the world's best.
I hope so. I hope that's the case. And the case
that's the only way I look at it. It's a motivational way for a coach that's talking to his own team. He didn't come out in the media and direct that at Croatia. It did not do that one bit.
Well, I mean, so, whether or not that was his intention, that could very well be what transpires here for Croatia. And, you know, you don't really need to add any more fuel to the fire. This is the World Cup. Canada needs a result on Sunday if they have any hope of advancing past the group stage, because if they were to lose again, that would be that'd be curtains for Canada at the World Cup. And I hope that doesn't happen, and I don't know if there would be any correlation, and it'd be a stretch to believe that to be the case, between Herdman's comments on Wednesday and the result of a game played on Sunday, all I'm saying is we'll see. We'll see. It's questionable. Yeah. It's questionable. I don't like it.
It's good.
But I'm sure there have been courses throughout your playing career where a coach says something or a player says something about your team, maybe something about you, and then you're like, oh, really? Okay, interesting. I'm going to be that much more ready to play against this guy.
Well, I can tell you a perfect example of when it happened. It was 2010, I believe. We were in the playoffs against San Jose. San Jose won the first game. We won the second game at home. So we split the series, and we're going back to San Jose. And at the press conference after the game, there was a message sent by us to San Jose after we won that game. And later in that game, guys were taking, I wouldn't say liberties at each other, but guys were making sure that this was going to be a series. And Roman Polak beat the crap out of, I think, Justin Braun. And it was Justin Braun, I believe, that initiated the altercation.
Right. Yeah.
And the question was asked to Pitchcock after the game, saying, hey, what did you think about, you know, the scuffle at the end of the game where we saw a couple of fights break out? And the first thing he said is, oh, don't open that door. You don't want to open the Roman Polak door. And the San Jose Sharks players, like, were taken back by it. It's like, who the heck is this guy think he is? What are you talking about, Roman Polak? And I remember the couple days leading up to the next game in San Jose, guys were commenting on interviews and stuff. Like, said, oh, we can't wait to see what door is going to be behind Roman Polak and stuff like that. And, yeah, they used it as motivation. But you know what we did? We went out, we won the game. That's what we did, and you know that's ultimately what it comes down to. The players got to back that up and go out and get the result.
That's it. And I think when you're a professional athlete, not that I've lived it, you have. You're looking for any edge, any little bit of motivation you can use to get yourself to that next level. Mm-hmm. And let's hope for Croatia. This is not it, but I can only imagine in Split or Dubrovnik. Those are the two cities I visited when I went to Croatia in 2016.
Dubrovnik.
Dubrovnik, that's where they filmed a lot of Game of Thrones. That's where King's Landing is. Oh, yeah. The King's Landing tour was cool. But that's a major talking point in the Zagreb, capital city of Croatia.
Zagreb, yeah.
Zagreb. Listen to my
very well. They used to have a team in the KHL. I almost went to play there one year.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. But, Zagreb, quality malls and quality bus service. I was there for about 6 hours. Went to
beautiful
the mall,
spot, man.
Took the bus, but yeah, it's not on the water though, Zagreb. Yeah. So that's the unfortunate part of that city. But shout out to Croatia, great country, unbelievable spot to visit. F them though. Let's go Canada. Sunday 11 a.m.
Yes,
we'll be ready to go. Ah, is it Sunday yet? I just cannot wait for this game. It's going to be so much fun.
What a day!
Oh, it's early though, 11 a.m. I'm not sure I'll be ready. I guess I do wake up at 5 a.m. every weekday, so I'm sure I could figure out a way to be ready for a soccer game at 11 a.m. Anyways, I'm ready for my FanDuel best bets. We'll get to those on the other side. A very busy day of National Football League action, and I'll tell you my favorite plays next. Time now for today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Man, what a day of NFL. I need to find some turkey. Perhaps I'll make one myself. Okay,
I don't know. I love the whole Swiss Chalet idea. Ever since you mentioned
I'm
it,
order
I've been thinking to myself. I'm like, okay, what can I order off the Swiss Chalet menu today? Because it's going to be one of those binge watch days.
Here's the move on the Swiss Chalet menu. You order one of those family deals, and I guess you actually have a family that, you know, you provide for, so maybe it makes sense for you, but for me, you get a whole chicken, four sides, four buns, it's like $35. That's like four meals for me.
Wow.
That could be
something delicious, man.
That could be something I dig deep into. Another thing,
but you know what I'm honestly going to dig deep into?
NFL?
Poutine. Oh. The Swiss Chalet poutine, fries with the chalet sauce with the cheese curds.
God, I'm in. CeeDee Lamb, over 77.5 receiving yards. My first play of the day, that's a 420 start. The Giants and the Cowboys. I think CeeDee Lamb balls hard. I'm also on Justin Jefferson, under 88.5 receiving yards. It's Belichick. You know he likes to limit the number one option for opposing teams, and Justin Jefferson clearly that with regards to the Minnesota Vikings. And finally, TJ Hawkinson,
anytime touchdown plus 210. Today's best bets have been brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Just imagine the web traffic on the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. World Cup action all day long. NFL all day. The Bills, the Lions, the Giants, and the Cowboys. The Vikings and the Pats at night. Oh, what a day. I cannot wait.
It's a fun day, buddy. What it's kicked time... off with my Buffalo Bills, too.
That's right. So what time does Swiss Chalet open is my next question.
Probably 11.
All right. I have to make a trip over there. It is very foggy outside in southern Ontario. I'm not sure I'll be able to look outside. That's Swiss Chalet or is that McDonald's? Can't really tell the difference. In any case, I don't have a car right now because it's in the shop and Bruce. It's been there for 2 days. I have no idea if they're ever going to fix it. Maybe I never get my car back. They're like, what car? I'm like, ah, oh, damn, you stole my car.
You should invest in one of those city scooters that a lot of people are driving like nowadays.
An e-bike.
I don't know what it's called, but...
You know, I don't want to. I don't want.
Dude, that's why I see people now. People are just riding in these scooters. It's like these motorized scooters.
I would hit a pothole and just fly 30 feet in the air and never recover.
You would.
Hey, Steph.
You would. Hi, Steph.
There's Stephanie Appolito, one of my favorites. Great to see you, Stephanie. Great to see you. Yeah. All right, so we've got all day World Cup covers, and then at night we've got the Vikings and the Patriots on TSN 1050. Portugal, Ghana, Brazil, Serbia, and Kirk Cousins on TSN 10.
Yes.
Does it get any better than that?
No. Nope.
The answer is no. Thank you to 20 Fingers. Thank you to Arad. Is that Matt behind you there, Chrissy? All right.
Matty.
Thank you to him as well. Excellent work. Centennial's finest. Thank you to Stephanie Appolito, also one of our favorites. And thank you to our audience. We will be back bright and early, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Coco, go Bills, and...
Ciao!